Welcome back, folks. Episode 29, Get a Grip on Lighting. On today's show, we have Bill Attardi. Well, who's Bill Attardi? Well, Bill's been in the game for 53 years. Since 1965, he started at Westinghouse, which became Philips, I guess. Eh? Is that how it worked, Greg?
Yeah, they did. They bought Westinghouse at one point, or the name.
Yeah, and so Bill worked there in marketing and sales for years, and then he started the Energy Watch News and became a leader in the lighting business in terms of reporting on it and talking about it and teaching it. He teaches now, and he was really an old soul in this game. He's been in the business for a long time, so we thank Bill for coming on the show, and I think you'll like it. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Kurtzon Lighting. Go to KURTZON.com, man, Kurtzon.com. Greg, why do we go to Kurtzon.com?
Well, they have unique product, number one. And, you know, it's a U.S. company. That's important, too. But I'm looking on their website right now at their food processing line.
Hey, Scott, throw the food processing up there for the YouTube viewers.
Yeah. First of all, I love food, and I think you do, too. So that's important that you have the right lighting to process your food properly. And looking at Kurtzon, they've got some fixtures that I haven't seen from a lot of other manufacturers. They've got food processing troffers. They've got high bays. Vapor tight fixtures, which a lot of people have, but theirs really looks unique. And then wraps. I have not seen a lot of wraps.
No, I was looking at the wraps too. Yeah.
Wide wraps, a lot of cool looking fixtures in that.
You know, you look at them and you know they're well built. Like even on the website, you can see that this is a specification grade. So, hey, if you're in the game of selling food fixtures or anything else, that food processing fixtures or anything else that needs to be specification grade, you need to go to KURTZON.com, Greg, Kurtzon.com. Probably one of the top manufacturers in the world for light fixtures, man. So go to Kurtzon.com, check him out. For those high, tough environments, Kurtzon's the best. Kurtzon.com. Hey, Greg, every episode of this podcast is brought to you by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Both of us are members.
Absolutely. We've been members for a number of years. That's how we met. That's how this podcast started. And I think it's important just to note the education we've gotten from it and continue to get from it. Great organization, really staying on top of what's new in lighting and helping get a grip.
There you go. So that's NEILD.org, NEIL.org, and we won't hold you back anymore. Episode 29, Get a Grip on Lighting. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Bill Attardi.
Hey, look forward to it.
Hey, say hi to Greg Garrick.
Hi, Greg. How are you? Nice to see you this time. Sorry we couldn't do it at Light Fair.
No problem. We had a few issues there, but we got through them.
Well, you know, I'm now a person of interest to the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Agency.
Good. Okay. Get a good lawyer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, apparently a recording podcast in the physically in the United States constitutes working in the United States illegally. So I respect the laws of the United States, right. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Agency.
If you came through Mexico, you would have been a lot safer and a lot easier to get in.
Maybe, who knows. So how long you been in this business, Bill?
Oh, my goodness. I started in 65, working for Westinghouse Lamp at the time, selling light bulbs in New York City. That's how I got started. Right out of the service, went right into New York City selling light bulbs.
And what service were you in?
Army Security Agency.
Okay. How long did you serve for?
I was at the NSA most of the... I was in for 3 years and 2 years in NSA.
Wow. And were you a salesperson selling light bulbs back in the 60s?
Yes. I've got the almost atypical career in marketing and sales. Started as a salesperson. Went on to school to get an MBA in marketing, and then went through all the chairs. Started as a sales training manager, and then product manager, district manager, region manager, finally exec VP of marketing and sales to two different companies, actually three. I own one of them. First with the Philips Westinghouse company, and then I went out to the West Coast to USI Lighting. That was a fixture company and was exec VP of marketing and sales for them for a few years, and then started my own company, Well Made Products. Actually, I was a partner in that company for a few years. And then in 94, I started my own training and consulting company and I named it after my two most precious possessions, my name and my profession. I call it Attardi Marketing. And I've been doing that since 94, and I teach at Monmouth University. I teach undergraduate and graduate classes in both management and marketing. And that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years. I'm never going to retire. It's just one of the things that my family has always said, find something you really like to do and do it as long as you can live. Okay. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Wow.
Nice. Bill, what was your first sale? Do you remember?
My first sale, you know, back then it wasn't so much a sale as it was maintaining existing customers. You know, we sold to everybody. It wasn't like it is today where you focus on consumer or industrial, commercial or OEM or specific markets. You had a textbook that was about that thick, and you sold to everybody. And you just made the rounds, really. You were kind of an order taker. You went around and made sure that all your major customers, whether they be distributors or retailers or gas stations, and that they had the light bulbs that they needed to sell every day. We consigned the light bulbs to them. And way back when, you know, I just made the rounds. I remember Smith El Disco. I'll give you that one. Smith El Disco was probably the first call I made in the Bronx. And Mr. Smith was a dear old man. I know he's not alive today. And he kind of took me under his wing. He sees this young salesman right out of the service, didn't know anything about selling. Believe me, I was really green. And he kind of took me under his wing and really kind of tutored me to be, I guess, the sales guy I am today.
Nice.
Now,
you've been on the...
Let me just jump in here. I wanted to ask you, do you think that there was more profit back then and that allowed you guys to be a little bit more free?
You know, I think there was more order back then.
Hmm.
There was only three companies in the lamp business. It was Sylvania, it was first GE, and then Westinghouse, and then Sylvania. And we all had our own particular distributors and retailers. GE dominated the retail sector. But everybody had their own distributors, and even though we did on occasion go after new business, most of it was done to maintain your existing business that you had. And that was the way it worked. And today, it's there's a lot of, there are more players. There's still dominant, it's still an oligopoly. When you think about lighting, whether it's fixtures or lamps or ballasts, it's an oligopoly. There's a few players that represent maybe 70, 75% of the total industry.
Are those players Chinese? Are they Chinese now?
No. I'm talking about the American players in the States. On a worldwide basis, you have some of the same. Philips, of course. You got Osram Sylvania. GE was a worldwide player. But same thing with the fixture companies, the major fixture companies like Acuity and Hubble and Eaton right now. It used to be Cooper, now it's Eaton, Philips, of course. So those are the companies that dominated the what I call the traditional or legendary lighting industry. Today, things are changing dramatically.
Yeah, the sun is setting on that.
About the change a little bit.
The sun is setting on that.
We're talking about disruptive innovation change, major, major change. More, I've never seen it. I've been in it in a lifetime. Never seen this kind of change in the lighting industry. And that's what's going to drive distribution. It's going to drive the end users. And you'll see new players. And it probably not going to be all lighting players.
And they're not going to be American either.
And they're not going to be American. The one company I think that everyone should pay attention to is a company called MLS. MLS, a Chinese company. And they just bought Osram Sylvania. Led Vance is the name that they use. And they're looking, they may even look at buying GE. The point is, they are a major Chinese lighting company serving the Asian market and the European market. And they're looking to serve the US market, the biggest lighting market of all. And if they buy GE, and they've got a company already here called Forest Lighting, which is a fixture company. And so their presence is on a worldwide scale is pretty formidable. And that's a company I think needs watching. And you know, Phillips, they went to
Bill,
an IPO. Yes, go
watching
ahead.
who should watch them?
I think the industry should watch them. I think all the major players, all the competitors, whether you're Philips or GE or Apple or Cisco or Qualcomm, you know, we don't know all the players because I think it's still going through this transition period. And the one thing I've always said in all my talks is that transitions are messy. They're not very good for the incumbents. The incumbents don't like change. They don't like transitions. They want to keep it the way it's always been, because especially if they dominate a certain sector. Well, that's not happening. We're going through a transition. There's going to be a lot of change. And the incumbents either have to keep up or you're going to have new players. And I think when you look at some of the new players, we don't know who they're going to be. Who are the ones that are going to invest in the business? We know the ones that have the resources to invest. You think Apple, you think Cisco, you think Qualcomm, you think Acuity, Cooper, Cree. Do they have the resources to compete against those kinds of companies? Time will tell. Let's do this 50 years from now and we'll find out how it works out, okay? I'll be here. I don't know about you guys. I'm going to still be in the lighting business. I hope you
You're
are
going for
too, Greg.
50. Yeah, for sure. The traditional channel of lighting distribution right now, if we look at it that way, you've got a manufacturing rep, and you got a distributor and contractor end user down the line. How do you see that will be affected within the next 5 years, or do you think it will be affected?
Yes, in fact, this is very good. Chris Brown, and Chris Brown's a close friend, and maybe someday we can do it together because we've done a number of things together. Chris, when this first started, he said, "You know, Bill, this change is dramatic. It's not my grandfather's lighting business anymore. It's going. Yesterday I was in the lighting business, and today I'm in the electronic semiconductor business. What do I know about that?" So he's a distributor, Wedenbach Brown. What do I know about this business? And he called it Alumageddon. Alumageddon, like the world was going to come to an end.
And he went on tour. And he went on
And he
tour
went
with
on
Hillary.
tour, right? He went on tour. And then he used the term that I've heard over the years called disintermediation. I don't know if you heard that term,
Yeah,
disintermediation.
sure.
He says, with this change, the manufacturers are going to eliminate all the companies, all the distributors, the intermediaries, the supply chain is gone. Manufacturers are going to serve direct. And I said, that may make sense. And they've been doing that now with the majors to begin with. They've been doing that for years. I mean, everybody serves Walmart direct, and it's not through a distributor. Why? Because Walmart is Walmart. So here's the point that I made with Chris, and I think he's buying, in fact, he bought into it. Now he calls it Illumitunity, which is a word for opportunity. Lighting is now a very exciting business for him. Anyway, my point is that America in particular, the American market, and certainly I think when you get into Europe and even in Asia, business is done locally. All business is done locally. That's why in the distribution business, it's not the major chains that dominate the local markets. It's always the independents that dominate local markets. The chains have tremendous breadth and control.
Bill, we've been saying for years that lighting is a regional business and will continue to be a regional business,
Yes, I
largely.
believe. And that's serving small business. And manufacturers don't want any part of serving small businesses. It's too complicated for them. They're interested in making product. And if they got a major national account that they can serve, sure, they'll serve them direct because it's easy for them. But small business, local distributors need to understand that that's their game. And if they play that game effectively, they can bring the new lighting sources to those customer bases that they've been serving for years that depend on them for this information. I think small distribution, an independent distribution, can play a very major role in this transition that's going on.
If you had to pick one of the channels to be in right now, Bill, either a manufacturer rep, or a lighting distributor, where do you feel that you'd want to be in? What channel?
Well, I think it's a very competitive market, Greg, for all three. Clearly, for all three. If I was in the existing, I don't think I'd want to be in the existing manufacturing business today, because that's going to take resources and some really innovative thinking to keep up with what's going on. So that's the biggest challenge, I believe. I use a speech and I call it fortuity. I use the term fortuity. Fortuity is when you are put in a position that you had nothing to do with. You're just in the right place at the right time, okay? And all of a sudden, things change and you can take advantage of that change. You didn't create that change. That's not you. That fortuitous means you just happen to be there. So I think a rep who just happens to be in the market, a distributor who's serving his customer base, he's not affecting all these changes, but he could really take advantage of these changes because he can bring the new technologies, the innovative technologies to market. And if he positions his company effectively, he can certainly serve his customers better than ever before. One thing about distribution, Greg, is that when I was in the business, I think light bulbs represented maybe as much as six lamps and ballasts, about 6% of a distributor. I'm talking about a full line electrical wholesale.
Yeah, sure.
About 6%, and maybe another 6%, 7% for fixtures. 10, 12, now it could represent as much as 25% of an electrical distributor's business. 25%. I don't think he wants to give it up. I don't think an electrical distributor, and certainly not your business, Greg, an independent lighting distributor, is not going to give up that business. And therefore, they need to reposition their business to understand what's going on, the new technologies, and to move effectively through this transition from
Bill, can I add, I'm going to add something to that point, too. Pipe and wire and breakers is just not that profitable. I mean, they don't, it's a commodity. I mean, whatever the cost of copper is, you know?
Exactly.
So the lighting may be 6% of their revenue, but might take a larger, in the past, in the fixtures, but it's probably constituted a larger portion of their profit than the revenue percentage was. And maybe they didn't know that. Maybe they didn't know that, but it would for sure, because that's why there's independent lighting only distributors, because it's a profitable industry.
That's right. And lighting could be very profitable going forward. You know, lighting distributors tend to beat each other up and take some of that profit out, unfortunately. But I think if they position themselves, and one of the things we teach at school is we call it total product concept. The total product concept. That means three things. You're selling innovative products, you're providing solutions to your customers, and you're servicing the hell out of them. Those three things are the total offering that a distributor should be thinking about. You've got innovations coming out from all electrical, not just lighting. When you think about it, there's all kinds of energy saving technologies coming from all electrical products, wireless as well as wired. And that's the innovation side. And they've got to be up to date and knowledgeable about those innovations. But they have to lead to a solution for the end user. The end user is only going to change if that particular innovation solves a business problem for them. And then once they buy into that, then how do you service them on an ongoing basis?
Gotcha.
To me, if distributors can focus on the total product concept, they'd be well positioned to serve their customers more effectively.
Now, how important in that do you feel is the brand of the product you're selling?
You know, GE was everything, right? We grew up, I fought against and competed against GE all my life. First it was Westinghouse and then Philips, and in the retail side of the business, did everything I could. And we haven't got the time to talk about my failures in that regard, but GE has always dominated the retail business. And to some degree, the industrial commercial side. Well, they're getting out. They want to sell badly. In fact, I just saw an article said they dropped almost 60% of their light sales last year.
Yeah,
now, sure. That's not GE. That's not GE, right? And so from that standpoint, it's going to be, I think, new players coming in. I think Philips is going to play a role. They They, of course, went to an IPO and they put 80% of it out in the market. They still own 20% of it. And on a worldwide basis, they're doing some very interesting things. I remember Acuity when it was selling for $260 a share. Now it's down to like 140. I don't know what's happening with Acuity. I thought were going to lead this industry in lighting and in technology and in certainly in innovation. They're having some
I
difficulty.
think they made too many acquisitions. It's tough to do
Maybe
that.
it's hard to keep and bring it
Yeah,
all into the family
it's tough.
and march to the same drummer. Absolutely. That's very possible, Scott. Cree has had some real problems. Cree had the position to dominate this whole market very early on with all their patents and their innovations and really I think visionary thinking. But they've had difficult time marketing. I think you can go back to the Rood acquisition and say this distribution said, well, here's a company that clearly wants to disintermediate, if you will, and maybe they are not supporting them as effectively as they should. But whatever the reason, Cree is having trouble.
One of our sponsors on our show, and we really like them, is Keystone Technologies. And the reason why that Keystone's been successful is they do something that the big three forgot about, and maybe other companies have never tried, and that is listening to their distributors, listening to the products they request, actively going out and asking for information. I mean, we had a trip where one of the reps from Keystone took a bunch of us nail guys down to a hotel, bought us some food, put us up in a hotel, and just asked us about the products he was going to sell, what we thought of them, whether or not we could sell them. And I mean, that just does not happen. I mean, with the big three, it has never happened with me. And I think that that's why some companies are going to grow, and I think they're going to grow right out of a bloodbath. Do you agree with that, Bill?
Yeah, totally agree with that. I think some of the smaller players are really taking advantage of that. Again, I also believe in the manufacturing side, if you get some innovative small manufacturers that have some real dedicated people, can do very well. My son is with FSG out of New Jersey. And I ask him all the time, who are the players that you like to deal with? Who are the manufacturers? They're a major Eaton Phillips lamp and fixture distributor, but they like people like Rob, like Green Creative, like TCP and to a certain degree too, Maxlite, Amerilux. Those are the companies that are trying to make they're carving out a niche. They're carving out a particular area that makes sense for them and for their strengths. Think about this. If every single light source is going to be converted to LED or whatever, some electronic source, if every single light source, the markets now become macro markets. Every market's a macro market because every single market's going to convert. Years ago, you just had maybe 10% of the market needed to change their light bulbs. Okay. Now you got 100%. Over the next 10 years, 100% are going to change.
What percentage has been done already, Bill?
In fact, I just looked at some numbers. 61% of all lamp sales last year was LED.
Boom.
61%.
What percentage of the existing market has been retrofitted, do you think? Or
I
re
think, I don't think it's more than that. I think it's 50, 60%
I
retrofitted,
agree.
right?
I agree.
Okay. But
I agree.
everyone believes that by 2025, 98% of all light sources manufactured will be LED. 95%. Okay. And in fact, if you just read Europe, and sometimes they're a little bit ahead of us because they're in a different, 220 system. Excuse me. They just upped the ante. They had a specific law that said you could not produce a light source that didn't give you 45 lumens per watt. By 2020, that 45 is going up to 85. So that means all incandescents will be wiped out, can't make them, and most CFLs, if not all CFLs. So by 2020, Europe is dictated by law that you can't make a light source that doesn't give you 85 lumens per watt. And you know, LED is already there. They're at 100, 150. And I talked to an LED engineer. I said, what's the upside on it? He says, probably 350 lumens per watt.
I don't think so.
Well, this is a guy that's...
What do you think? Yeah, what do you think, Greg?
What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be tough. I've heard 200 is kind of getting close to their max now.
Green's got 250 in the lab now. They got 250. I think
300 usable is light. Yeah.
Well, again, it's all about control. You're right. They've got to get it perfected. But if that's the upside, you know, even if it's theoretical, think about it. 100 watt light bulb, you're burning 3 watts. Okay. So yeah. A lot of change.
So if 98% of the market is going to be done by 2025, what's the next step for people in the lighting industry?
Get ready. You know, start. Wow. First of all, you know, when you think about selling, you know, you got to have a good understanding of the products that are being offered. And those products are not just for light anymore. I think we keep talking about that. Lighting is not about lighting anymore. It's not about illumination. You know, one of the things, I have a theory, and it's in my, in fact, I'm giving a presentation to a bunch of distributors June 5th. And I'm talking about, let's take a trip. The trip is going to be from the traditional lighting business that I've been in all my life to what I consider to be the smart lighting business today. That's where we are now, the smart lighting business. But that's not going to stop. The trip that we want to go to is the intelligent lighting business. Now, what's the difference? Traditional is nothing but quality of light, long life, and energy savings. That was it, okay? Smart lighting says, we already have energy savings with LED. No, take it off the table. We already got long life. LEDs last 100,000 hours, 10 years. Take it off the table. The only thing we got to concentrate on now in the smart lighting business is quality of light, controlling the light, and making sure the application is right for wherever you're using, whether you're growing product in horticulture or for healthcare or for just general illumination, for office lighting, for schools. They're talking about starting out with blue light in the morning to get the kids all excited and concentrating and then kind of taming it down so when they leave, they're in a good mood, okay? So lighting can be used to in the circadian rhythm type of thing, okay? So we're in smart lighting now. We're looking at lighting that goes beyond just giving illumination. Intelligent lighting is now lighting is thinking for itself. Now we're coordinating it with big data. Now we're maybe, lighting may be the core connector to everything. Every device we own would be the core connector.
Are you still connected to the NSA?
No.
Okay, no. Because I feel like lighting could be a really good way to spy on people too, Bill.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. You know, when you put LED in the ceiling, you got a transmitter. You know, yeah. We talk about Wi-Fi. That's how we connect to get to the internet, right? Well, there's a thing called Li-Fi. If you remember your
physics. You know what we call? We have the name for Li-Fi on the show. You know what it's called? The what? Matrix.
Matrix. Okay.
The Matrix. You've seen the movie The Matrix?
Yeah,
Li-Fi,
yeah,
we call it the Matrix. You're entering into the Matrix now. You're walking through the internet. The light is the internet. Sure. You're walking through it. And there's nothing faster than light.
And when everything is converted to LED, that means every light source has a transmitter in there.
And all these, hey, Bill, all these things are made in China. So who's spying on who here?
You know, spying is going to, you know, Greg, what's so new about spying? You know, we've been spying each other for as long as I've been in NSA. We used to spy on every country out there. What are you kidding? We all do it.
I always think it's hilarious when Americans get mad that the Russians influenced their election, because as if America didn't influence every election since 1950 in the world.
Spying is a way of life, for goodness sake. You know, we just got to do it better than the other guy. It's the true.
But they're making all the stuff, Bill. They're making all the stuff. They're implanting all their components.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get a little bit more fairer trade in that regard, and maybe we can put some safeguards. There's no question we need to put safeguards and try to protect ourselves. We got to do it better than our adversaries.
So should we bring manufacturing back to the United States and Canada? Canada too.
I think in some cases, sure, it's important. You know, I think if you It's not just free trade. I agree with Trump. Free and fair trade is what's necessary in order to satisfy our own people, you know, and we got to look out for ourselves, I think, because the Chinese are looking out for themselves. The Russians are looking out for themselves. That's fine. That's just like, that's the competitive environment.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you. America should not shrink back into isolationism. It's time for America to go back to where it was in the late 80s and 90s and a leader for the world in free trade, democracy, free enterprise, rule of law, all these things. They were the protectors of that for the world. And now America, and we're way off a lighting here, but Greg's looking at me. He wants to go back to
trade. Scott, I totally.
I'm Michael. Scott's the producer, but that's okay.
Okay, no, I agree.
That's okay.
Oh, Scott's the producer?
Michael. I'm Michael.
Oh, you're Michael. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, Michael. I'm a free trader too. I've been in business all my life, I think. But it's got to be fair too. Mm-hmm. That's the key that maybe it hasn't happened over the last couple of centuries. You know, free and fair trading between countries makes a lot of sense. And when some countries violate the fair part, then we need to take a look at that and protect ourselves. That's all.
So let's go back to lighting again, like Michael has said here.
Sure.
if we look at going to my question on what the next step is. So let's say somebody is LED right now or is in the next 2 years. Do you feel that within 6 to 8 years later, we'll be able to go back to them with a new system that will either have a payback or have a financial reason for them to want to do this?
Well, Greg, let me ask you a question. Do you have a phone and a cell phone? Okay.
Yes.
You have a cell phone? Was the first cell phone that you had? Was it a iPhone 3 or 4?
No, five? I don't even.
I had a Nokia 5830 back in 2001. Nokia 5830.
And you probably threw it away. It was working fine, but some company came out with a new phone with some new widgets or new things, right? I started with an iPhone 3. I got an iPhone 7 Plus, and I'm looking at, and I'm behind the times because there's an 8 out there and there's an iPhone 10 out there, right? I mean, my iPhone 5 worked fine. Why did I throw it out?
But Bill, lighting's not a consumer product. It's not a consumer product.
I know it's not, you know, okay, that's my point. It's funny, this is the same conversation I had with Chris Brown. The point I'm making is that you go in, we already softened the market about 15, 20 years ago, when all of a sudden the emphasis on lighting was to save energy conservation. Remember the energy services company, the ESCO, didn't exist 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now they got a major play. They're a major player in lighting, right? So how did they come about? They came about and said to a customer, you know, the lighting you have in your ceiling, it's working, right? You turn on the lights, they come on. It's an underperforming asset. You got to get rid of them. Even though they're working fine, you got to get rid of them because you're paying too much to run them. You're paying the electric bill every month much too much to run those antiquated light bulbs. I'm going to take them all out. Put in electronic ballast and a T8 lighting system. It's going to cost you so such and such, and in 3 months you're going to pay for it through your electric.
Right, we get that. We do that every day with LEDs. But you tell me how you can turn lighting into a status symbol, because when you were talking about changing phones or changing cars or whatever you're changing when you don't need to, you're talking about changing for status. I don't think that lighting can become a status symbol for anybody. If it can, great, I'll sell it all day long. But what you're talking about is you're changing for status.
No, Mike, I don't think you're changing for status. You're changing for effective use of the product. To me, it's the same thing. It's innovation, solution, and services. If I have an end user customer and I change them from T12 to T8 10 years ago, I'm going into them now and saying, you know those T8s? Underperforming assets. Got to get rid of them all. We got to put LED fixtures or LED tubes or LED in. And I'll do that tomorrow. And I change it all out.
But you don't have the business case for energy savings. You don't have the business case for maintenance and energy savings anymore. Why would someone change their lighting in the next 5 years if they're already LED?
You've got quality of light to focus on that. I think LED gives you an opportunity with the different color CR. Well, they don't call it TL. I guess it's 30 now. TL 30. Anyway, the point I'm making is that LED now is going to be the only light source that's going to be commercially available. So you've got that on your side. You can sit down with a customer and say, we changed this, and you've got so many lumens per watt for that. Now we got 150 lumens per watt. And we're going to put LED in your ceiling, and everybody is very receptive to what LED does.
But how do they change the LEDs that are already there? Why would they change the
Okay,
LEDs that are already
5 years
there?
from now, I'm going to go to them and say, underperforming asset. We put those LEDs, it was 150 lumens per watt. We've got a new light source that's 250 lumens per watt.
But it's a
We
10-year
save you more
payback.
energy,
But it's a
better
10-year pay.
color.
But it's a 10-year payback.
You
It's not
throw
a.
them out. You throw the full working pro again, it's a theory. You throw out, just like you do with any electronic device, you throw out one that's working functionally, still working for a better source. And I believe that lighting is moving as, see, that's the one thing that even I have trouble with. I've been in this industry all my life. It has moved at a snail's pace my entire life. It's slow, it's stodgy, and that's because the incumbents liked it that way. They didn't want major change to take place. They dominated the market, and as I said earlier, change is the villain for the incumbents. We're not in the light bulb business anymore. We're in the electronic business. Electronics moves 10 times, 100 times faster than the lighting industry even thought about. You think about Apple and all the major companies. Look at Google, look at Facebook, look at all the social media thing. They're moving at light speed.
All status-based
Mind
consumer
you?
products, though. All status-based consumer product-based stuff. It's not light
Is
bulb
a light
in a
bulb is
factory.
let me ask you. Let's go back to the cell phone, okay? One of the major disruptive innovations of our lifetime. One of the rules of a disruptive innovation is that you made it make it available to the masses. It's not just when you first had a phone, I don't know, when I go back, we had one phone in the house, okay? And
Sure.
it was a dial phone, right? Okay? And that was the only thing in the house, right? And
Yeah.
then you had some evolution. You had the push button and you had. Now we got a cell phone. I got 10-year-old granddaughters that have cell phones, okay? Everybody in the family has a cell phone. You say that's just a status symbol? It's not a status, it's a functional
I
entertainment
agree
device.
with the cell phone bill, but you're not convincing me on how that argument applies to lighting. I don't
Well,
see
I
it.
think
And I
the
guess
reason. Go ahead,
go ahead,
Greg.
Bill. Well, I was just going to say, is there any reason then to be future-proofing lighting, or is that term even necessary if all we're going to do is throw out the lights in the future?
We're not going to throw them out. We're going to convert them over to whatever is the new innovation. Right now, we're talking about LED. Okay. They're even talking about laser being a possible light source. And just hypothetically, Michael, say 5 years from now, they come out with a laser light source that is not only better, but clearly more effective than LED.
Well, we just
You
interviewed
go back
Dr.
to that
Rudy.
same customer.
We just interviewed Dr. Paul Rudy from SLD Laser on our last show. It's not out
Okay.
yet, but his belief is that laser will fill in the niches around LED that LED doesn't dominate. It's not going to take out LED as a general light source, but it's going to be in areas where you need really tight beam spreads, where you need to have areas where around the general light source where where there's gaps in what LED can do from a a beam spread perspective and other things like that. I don't think there's going to be any. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. I think we're going to have to agree to
Okay.
disagree, Bill. But
All right, but that's the thinking now, and I tend to agree with you now. But 10 years from now,
sure,
I don't know if that's the same thinking that's
sure,
going to go on.
agreed.
And
And I don't
that's
think
the
you
point.
can. Yeah, I don't think you can upgrade all of the current fixtures. So that's one of the issues with a lot of LED product right now is it's all purpose built, and you're not going to have the capability to go into that same fixture and retrofit it. So I think it's going to have to be replaceable, replacing the entire unit for a lot of applications.
Okay, but I think what you're doing is looking at what's possible now. And as I said earlier, I think lighting is moving in so much faster than the industry has ever been used to, that every year it changes. I just looked at a number. LED light bulbs. It was the first light source about 5 years ago that went over $1 billion in sales. The first category. You know, the categories were incandescent, fluorescent, HID, you know, CFL. The first one that went over $1 billion in sales in our history, in U.S. sales, right? In 2016, it went over $2 billion. Think about that. Here's a history of lighting from Thomas Edison till now. No category has ever gone over $1 billion, and we're looking at LED that's going over $2 billion in sales. Is that something that anyone projected, you know, 20 years ago? I don't think so. I don't think the uses of LED today are even being scratched. I don't think the surface is scratched yet. You're talking about museums. You're talking sports lighting. You talk every single light source out there is going to be changed over to LED. And in 5 years from now, I don't know if it's laser. I don't know if it's a super LED, but there's going to be something out there that, and maybe not the entire market, but I want to be there when I have that same customer that I just changed the LED and say, you can't believe this light source. You got to change it again. You got to change everything.
You're not going to believe what I'm... You're not going to believe what I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
I think that's
not
a good...
The innovators.
I think that's a good... Guys, I think that's a good spot to...
I'm going to get... You know the guys that sleep at Times Square waiting for the new Apple phone to come out? Those are the guys that I'm going to sell first.
I think that's a good spot to close this podcast, Bill.
Okay.
What do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Terrific.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. Kurtzon.com, baby, KURTZON.com, Kurtzon.com. Hey, man, specification grade lighting. That is their tagline. That is their tagline. Why do they have it as their tagline? Because that's what they make, Greg. They make specification grade light fixtures. If you need tough environments, tough requirements, you got to go to Kurtzon.com, KURTZON.com, Greg. Why? What are we looking at here, Greg? Food processing?
Yeah, food processing, and just on the spec grade subject in general, it's something you don't run into every day, but very important to have a good source to go to and someone you can count on. A lot of different manufacturers maybe have one area covered, but they aren't strong anywhere else. When you're talking specific needs and spec grade products, I think Kurtzon is one of the best. In terms of food processing was one that we're looking at today, as they have a variety of fixtures that can be qualified in the food processing arena. You've got troffers, you've got high bays, you've got wrap fixtures, you've got vapor tights to cover everything you need.
They got all nice the indoor applications. Fixtures. They got all the indoor applications covered with their food processing grade fixtures. I mean, that's what Kurtzon is, guys. Specification grade, great manufacturer, legitimate warranty. Go to KURTZON.com, Kurtzon.com. And every episode on the GetAGripOnLighting.com website is brought to you by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org, that's nail.org, for information on joining the association or taking LS1. Hey, Greg, how many of your people have been through LS1?
I've had about 7 employees here myself go through LS1. I've gone through it a couple times. I did it when it initially came out, and then it's been updated, and it continues to get updated, and I've done it again. It's in a great course, something to give you a real good understanding of lighting in the industry and how it all works.
Folks, if you're listening to the show, whether it's 50% or it's 30% or whatever, so whatever market you're in, a vast majority of the lighting out there has not been upgraded to LED. And not the vast, but a lot, maybe 50, at least 50%. And so guess what? Guess what, folks? LS1 teaches you about all the different types of old light bulbs that are out there in the market that you need to know about before you go slam LEDs in those sockets, know what they're up to. We'd also like to thank Bill Attardi for coming on the show. Thanks, Bill. Hey, it was a real pleasure finally getting to meet you. It's such a wonderful thing about this podcast, is I get to meet and talk to so many great people. Isn't that right, Greg?
Absolutely, and Bill's one of the best. Guy's been in it forever. He's very positive, excited about the future of lighting, and we need more people like that in the industry right now.
That's what we're trying to be. We're trying to be Bill Attardi in the future. So, Bill, thanks for coming on the show. That was episode 29, Get a Grip on Lighting.